to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Amen. Dear fellow believers, I received a letter in the mail the other day, and actually, it was written for you. Here's what it has to say. Hello, my loved ones. I know you have received multiple Christmas letters from your family members and friends, and I'm sure it has brought you joy to be updated on their lives and how they are doing. But the purpose of my letter is not to update you about me, but what I have to say to you. What I am going to say may seem harsh, but I have to say it. I created you and gave you life. But why did you choose death? I gave my life for you. Yet I ask why you don't always live for me. I brought you to faith and created new life in you. Yet why do you cling to your sinful nature that goes against me? I have made you brothers and sisters in the faith. You are a family of believers. But why do you treat each other so harshly? I speak to you in my word. So I ask, why can you turn a deaf ear to what I have to say? I give you everything you need and bless you with so much more. But why do you doubt me and so quickly become angry with me? I could go on, but I won't. Signed, your loved one, God. Now, obviously, God did not actually write this letter and gave it to me. But what he says here is completely true. We all have to confess that we have committed these sins. Not just once, not just twice, but multiple times in our lives. And imagine if this were the only thing that God had ever revealed to us. If that were the case, then there would be no hope, no joy, and no peace. But this isn't the only thing that God has revealed to us. Because as we look at this account from Luke chapter 2, we don't see God's wrath. We don't see his anger. We don't see his condemnation. But here, we see the ultimate Christmas letter of love. This ultimate Christmas letter of love begins by saying, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." At first glance, these words may not seem all that significant because it's talking about random people from back when. But these words are incredibly important because here we see love in reality. This account is not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. We know who these people were. We know when they lived. We know where these things were happening. And so here we see love in reality because Jesus, our Savior, actually existed in our time. But that's not the only reason why these words are so important. When Caesar Augustus issued this decree that the entire Roman world should be taxed, we are told, "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Joseph and Mary are living all the way up north in the city of Nazareth. They have absolutely no desire, nor did they care, to travel all the way down to Bethlehem, which was over 100 miles, especially when Mary was 9 months pregnant. But because Caesar Augustus issued this decree, they traveled all the way to Bethlehem, and there Jesus was born. Why is this important? It's important because God had prophesied that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. So here we see love in perfect fulfillment. God had made hundreds of prophecies about Jesus. But imagine if God had failed at this one prophecy to have Jesus be born in Bethlehem. If that were the case, then our God would not be perfect. Our God would not be faithful to his word. Our God would be a liar. And ultimately, you and I would always be wondering, well, if God couldn't keep this one prophecy about Jesus correctly, then how can I know if he will keep every promise that he has given to me? But here we see love in perfect fulfillment. God made sure that every prophecy of Jesus would be perfectly fulfilled. And therefore, we don't have to worry if God will keep his promises. Because what God promises to us, he will keep. Whether it's his promise of forgiveness, promise of salvation, promise of eternal life in heaven, or the promise of his love. This ultimate Christmas letter of love goes on to say, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Here we see love personified. And I'm not talking about Mary's love for her firstborn son, that she did everything that she could for him by wrapping him in swaddling clothes and placing him in a manger. Here I'm talking about God's love personified. If this account were about God's almighty power and glory personified, then Jesus would not have been born in these humble circumstances and placed in a manger, which was a feeding trough for animals. If this account were about God's wrath personified, then we would see Jesus coming to condemn us all because of our sins. But as Jesus once said, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here we see love personified. Jesus humbled himself to be born in these lowly circumstances. It's not like Jesus came to have a life that was so much better than our own. But he lived in poverty and humility, not only to show his great love for us, but ultimately to save us from our sins. And speaking of humbleness and lowliness, this Christmas letter of love says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Here we see love revealed. And think of how important that is. What good would it have been if Jesus was born and placed in that manger and he went on to live his life, but no one knew about it? What good would it have been for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and yet it was never revealed to us? It would be of no good to us. But here we see love revealed. The birth of Jesus, our Savior, was revealed to these humble, lowly shepherds. And why they were the first ones to hear the message of the glorious birth of our Savior, we don't know. But it does show that this message is revealed to all people. It's revealed to you and to me. Who are we to know about the glorious birth of Jesus? Who are we to know that Jesus came to be our Savior? Because of our sins, we have no right to have this be revealed to us. But that's exactly what this message is all about. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And so here we see love revealed, that God has revealed this to us to save us from our sins. It's revealed to bring us to faith. It's revealed to give us peace. And speaking about peace, this Christmas letter of love says, And there was a heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The only way that there can be peace and goodwill between us and God is for someone to establish that peace. But that's a peace that you and I cannot establish. We never could have established that peace because we are sinners from birth. Nor would we have ever established that peace because we continue to sin against God each and every day. But here we see love establishing peace. Jesus came to reconcile us with God. From the very moment that he was born, Jesus was living a perfect life for you and for me. And when Jesus had accomplished everything for us, there on the cross, before he breathed his final breath, Jesus said, It is finished. And he gave up his life to forever remove our sins from us. And since our sins have been forever removed from us, the only thing that now exists between us and God is his peace, his love, and his constant forgiveness. Here we see love establishing peace. And after the shepherds heard the angels praising God, they said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened. And when they found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in a manger, this Christmas letter of love says, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Here we see love that is shared. When the shepherds saw all of these things, they were so overwhelmed with joy that they couldn't help but share the message of Jesus with others. And God used these humble, lowly shepherds to make others wonder and be filled with amazement about all these things which had happened. And we too are to be like those first shepherds on that first Christmas morning. We know about God's love. And therefore, let us be overwhelmed with joy to the point that we can't help but share it with others. And what a better time to do that than during the Christmas season. Nowadays, Christmas has become so commercialized, and people can become so stressed out during this holiday season that they have no joy. They no longer have any peace, and they forget what Christmas is all about. But that's where you and I can be like shepherds, reaching out to God's lost sheep, or reaching out to his sheep that who are so stressed that we can give them peace and joy by sharing the love of Jesus, who was born to be our Savior. And there's one more final thing that I want to highlight about this ultimate Christmas letter of love. When the shepherds came and went, we are told, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here we see love that is pondered. Imagine what it must have been like for Mary on that first Christmas day. It didn't go exactly to plan. She had no intention of going down to Bethlehem, but she went because of that decree from Caesar Augustus. And when she and Joseph arrived at Bethlehem, there was no room for them. No one took pity on them. And then she gives birth to Jesus in essentially a barn. And the only thing she can do for him is wrap him in swaddling clothes and place him in a manger. You can imagine Mary looking up to heaven and wondering, God, why did it happen in this way? Why was your son born in this humble, lowly way? But then God used these shepherds to bring glory to what had happened. And when Mary saw it, she treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. We too, like Mary, ponder this love in our hearts. Because there are times when things don't go the way that we expect. There are times that we too look up to heaven and ask God, why are all of these things happening? But here we see love that is pondered. It is God's love who helps us in our hardships. He gives us solutions to our sufferings. He helps us to get through things when we think we can't get through them. And God doesn't do this to force us to love him. God doesn't do it to receive anything from us. He does it simply because of his great love for us. And it is this love that we ponder in our hearts, knowing that God will always love us and help us. Because as we mentioned earlier, what God has promised, He will always do. This is the ultimate Christmas letter of love. Because here we see love in reality, love in perfect fulfillment, love personified, love revealed, love establishing peace, love that is shared, and love that is pondered. May this love of God always fill you with joy and peace as you celebrate His birth on this Christmas day. Amen. You may remain seated. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now present our offerings to our Lord and Savior.